Man, there's been a slew of great Kickstarters. There's an Aztec omnibus that I really wanted from Doug Munch. There's a Scout comic coming out again from Tim Truman. That's his new material. There's an anthology that Andrew Shaw turned me on to that I'm going to be getting. There's just a lot of great Kickstarters that are coming. I backed a thing called Metro. I'm a fan, even though I don't like Walt Flanagan from Comic Book Man. I do like his artwork when he draws with, Kevin Smith book, and he's doing Metro with Brian Hogan, and I can't remember who the other guy is. Does it list it? It's another big name, but it was another good series that looks really interesting. Yeah, Scout Marauder. I backed a book called Sucker, which is a Grindhouse vampire adventure. I did a book called Lifted of Gods and Thieves by Sean Pryor. Sean Pryor, when he says there's a new book coming out, I will back. I just received the Not So Golden Age number 2. I read number 1 and I backed its Kickstarter and loved it, so I backed the second one. Let's see, is there any others? I backed a book called The Shakers, and another one called Cause and Effect. And I think that like summarizes a bunch of different Kickstarters that just look really promising, and they look like they have some good page counts, and I'll be getting some good value. And they probably won't be available, I'd imagine, in previews anytime soon. So it looks like I am really excited to get into these types of books and see where they go. I've been really happy with the last batch of Kickstarters I've done, like really satisfied. So, and there's other ones that I avoid because I buy them in previews instead. These ones I don't think are going to be in previews, so I roll the dice and I place an order. Junior mints. I like my junior mints. They're refreshing. Have you ever seen that Seinfeld? But I've been thinking about horror comics lately and going on a buying spree. Some books I've been thinking about is there's a book called Fright Night. And I have a few issues. I have issue 18 and 19. But this series, issue 1 and 2 adapts the movie, and then I don't know where it goes from there. It says it's an adaptation of the film Fright Night as it runs through the first 3 issues of this 22-issue series from Now Comics. High school student Charlie Brewster discovers his next-door neighbor is a vampire, and he and his friends enlist the B-grade horror Peter Vincent, the great vampire cleaner. I love this movie. I loved Fright Night 1, I love Fright Night 2, and I even loved the remake. Not as much as the originals, but it's Jerry Dandridge, the vampire that moves next door. Some other comments on this particular. After the movie adaptation concludes, the series continues with more typical horror movie fare. Like the film that inspired it, Fright Night operates on campy, tongue-in-cheek level and managed to have some fun with the horror genre. While it's certainly not the quality of E.C.'s Tales from the Crypt and Haunt of Fear, or even DC's House of Mystery and House of Secrets. Fright Night is an entertaining little horror fix for fans of such things. So I think I am going to take a ride on the Fright Night train. And there's a Fright Night 2 graphic novel on the movie. I own that, actually. I bought that on Reddit. There's a Fright Night 1993 Halloween special. There's a Fright Night 3D winter special. And then the Fright Night 3D is two issues. So there's a lot of 3D going on with Fright Night. And Fright Night itself ran 22 issues, and I have two of them. So it's a series I've been thinking about getting into, and I think I want to get into it. The other thing is, my mom was never big into comics. She knew I love comics, but she did get into a lot of novels around the time Anne Rice was really popular. So my mom started reading Interview with the Vampire, Vampire Lestat, Queen of the Damned, and the other books that she came out with. And a company back in the day, Innovation, they came out with all those ad adaptations. So, it's like Anne Rice's Queen of the Damned. I think it's just under Anne Rice. I don't know how it. Let's see, Interview with a Vampire. Okay, that one shows up. But that's different. Okay, this is Interview with a Vampire, Anne Rice's from 1991 to 1993. So my mom actually gave me all of her comics, and she was missing issue 12. So I need to. It's weird because she had like all the series, and I think I bought this for her. I think what happened is I went to put it on my pull list because I knew she loved them, and I paid for them, and then she read all the comics. But for some reason, she missed a few issues. There's like a vampire companion that has text about the creation of the comics. There's the Queen of the Damned, who she missed one of the issues. And I think maybe Queen of the Damned, the last one didn't come out. So there could be one like that's missing out of the series. And then what else is there? The Vampire Lestat. So another series that I'm going to place just to fill those holes is I'm going to place an order from mycomicshop.com and buy the remaining four issues I have of the series that my mom gave me. I bought them for her. Now she gave them back. Said she did. They were just in her office, and she never was going to read them again. So I'll add them to my collection happily and complete the series. As far as the stories, I never read the books. I have watched the movies, and I thought the movies were all right. I didn't care too much for Queen of the Damned, which was like rock star. It's borderline an early version of Twilight to me. It's romanticizing the horror aspect of vampires. So, it was the beginning of the end. No, I'm just kidding. But really cool art in the stories, really cool covers. I am going to complete it. So there's some things in the horror genre I am going to complete. I recently read Alterna's Croak, which was a whole lot of cussing. But the horror series started out really interesting because it was a misinterpretation of something, like somebody trying to scare somebody and actually getting hurt because of it. And then it involved some weird crow-like aliens, and that's when it kind of went off kilter for me. But I read Coke number two. I started reading a lot of Alterna in the last Geek Brunch, and I was pleasantly surprised. A matter of fact, I almost like on the previous ish episodes, I've talked about cutting back And even though Alterna's cheap, I cut back and I almost got the itch to say, okay, these two number ones came out and I got them out. I'm gonna add them back in. But I've held strong. So far I'm holding strong on my commitment to reduce my titles. And I figure if I want to read them, they will be available on Comixology. And I'll read them there, but we'll see. There's been close times where I've been almost breaking, and the only thing I've broke so far of all the titles that I put in is Captain America. I actually added it to my list, so I've been holding strong. We'll see because the new DCBS order is out. And the way I'm going to approach it is I'm going to approach it the way I did last time, where I populate everything that I want, and then I enter in my order, and then I see what the total is, and then I see what I want to go down to. And then I'll start picking and choosing what goes. And hopefully it'll be the same as last month, and maybe even a little lower. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if there's anything else that I want to talk about at this time, other than I'm going to read some comics. We have a retrocast coming up here soon, and I think what I'll be covering is some Domino from the past. And also, I have started to crack open the Tom DeFalco and Rob Franz Spider-Man. It's weird. I'm getting a Spider-Man bug too. I just want to read Spider-Man, and I've been holding strong on it too, like trying to read digital, so we'll see how that goes. Also, I've heard from Martin that an announcement came from DC talking about their launch of their platform is going to be in August, and it does mention comics, so we will see what that means. I think it's a huge announcement, and I think it's a game changer personally. I mean, there's still going to be people that want paper, and I'll buy paper for a lot of my comics. DC, I'm not breaking on DC. I still have a thing for Dynamite. And the other thing that was really hard for me to break crack is Aftershock. When you're all in and then you decide not to be all in, even though you haven't been reading it, it's just a weird compulsive, like when you're a compulsive collector and completist, it's tough, man. It really is tough. And just a shout out to Nick Wetmore because my buddy read the Clone Saga based on me pushing him, and he finally got to that issue, Amazing Spider-Man 400, and he cried. So I think my job was done. I knew it's got him thinking more, even more so than me, because it was an amazing issue. It was so powerful and emotional, and I knew he would love it even more than me. So like if I loved it at this level, he's got that Spider-Man's his character. So like that's the guy that he goes to. It's go to Pete, go to Pete. And the other thing I learned is that Clone Saga, the epic collection that he's reading, the epic, it's not epic proper, but there is a Clone Saga epic collection, even though it's not epic. This was before they started the epic line. It was called the Epic Collection. A matter of fact, I think the first volume is worth a lot of money, the first two volumes, because of the print runs and it went out of print. But I learned when he was reading, I was noticing covers that were new to me. Like I was like, where did this come from? I did not read this. I read the omnibus. So I think what happened is the omnibus is missing some material, whereas what he's reading in trade digitally completes everything that was pu being published, like even the super summer specials and other things, and the omnibus just didn't have them. And these were prior to him getting to the point of Amazing Spider-Man 400, because I saw him posting. I'd ask questions. I like, are you there yet? Because I don't these comics don't look familiar to me. And he said, no, it's coming up. It's coming up. And I was like, wow, you know, these aren't there. So I may seek out some of those issues if they're on Marvel Unlimited and read them. But right now, I think I'm gonna go on a Spider-Man reading frenzy. To do some Tom DeFalco and Rob Friends. I just finished the first one, which was a weird issue to start off with because it was the climax to the Hobgoblin Spider-Man series that Roger Stern was writing, and they kind of explained this in the interview on the Epic Marvel podcast, but I didn't quite understand why Roger wanted to leave. I think if I remember correctly, he wanted to move to Avengers and was going to leave a hole open in Spider-Man. And at the time, Tom DeFalco was the editor, and he was like, okay, I have to find someone to take over the book. And his boss said, I think I already have a name for doing Spider-Man. And he's like, well, if you have a name, then why won't you tell me? Because are you gonna make me work for nothing and come up with names? You know, he's like an editor. He says, "Why don't you just tell me the name if you already have a set person in mind for who's gonna write Spider-Man after Roger Stern?" And he said, "I want you to write it." And Tom DeFalco pretty much said, "What the fuck?" You know, he says, "I love Spider-Man, but I don't think I could write Pete's voice. I don't think I could fill it. And I don't feel confident that I could do it." So he was already saying no. He said, "But we're going to have Rod Franz, and you've worked with him before, and you guys like each other." And the other thing he told him is, "I think you could do it. And why don't you finish up Roger Stern's Hobgoblin script? So he scripted it, and you're just doing the dialogue, and see if you could find Pete's voice in that." And it was really a crazy time, man, for somebody new to be taking over the book, because the issue that I just read, you'll never guess, but it leads into Secret Wars, where he gets the black costume. At the end of the issue, after he fights Hobgoblin, and Hobgoblin had taken away his spider sense somehow, so Hobgoblin was kicking his ass, and he was like in this Green Goblin armored truck, and he drives it into the water, and they're fighting, and it looks like they're both gonna drown. Spider-Man comes up for air, and then he goes back down to try to find Hobgoblin's body. He can't find it. And the Hobgoblin was really concerned about his identity at this time. Like he didn't he says, if he finds out my identity, it'll ruin my relationship to my family and everybody. So it can't happen. And it was just a great comic. It was a great comic. I really enjoyed it. Rod Franz's art, Franz's art, looks a little different than what I'm used to. He does draw a good Pete. And the other thing that was amazing that they had to wrap up was J. Jonah Jameson was he quit the paper. So the Hobgoblin was gonna frame him, because he had hired the Scorpion to do stuff, and it was not ethical, and they were gonna announce it. And J. Jonah Jameson basically wrote the article himself and turned himself in, saying, "I'm a bad guy, a bad reporter. Here's what I did: is I created the Scorpion. I'm responsible for X." He took responsibility and handed over all of the editorial work and the paper, even though he still remains the publisher, to Robbie. So that was crazy. And then Spidey just goes swinging. He's like, "What's going on here? This is a big, weird contraption in the park that I'm drawn to with my spider sense." And he goes there, and then all of a sudden it says, "To be continued in Secret Wars." So it was a pretty doggone good issue. And I enjoyed it. I do not own it. I want to own it now that I read it digitally. And I'm looking forward to owning it. Like, I want that paper and I want it in my hands. But it is Amazing Spider-Man 251. And it has Spider-Man, just a glove coming out of the water. And he's got the Hobgoblin's mask. So this scene actually did happen because you know how good Spidey is. He doesn't want anybody to drown or die because of him, even though he was fighting and the Hobgoblin. So he goes back down looking for him and he only finds the mask. So, really good issue, and it also leads you to believe that Harry Osborn finds out how his dad was the Green Goblin. And I didn't think I thought this happened much earlier than 251, but it alludes to that, and he's pretty shocked and upset that his dad was not a good person. So I want to thank you for listening, and I got another episode recorded. I seem to be on a roll. I want to keep this thing going at a certain pace. And I have another one in the can. So I'll be back with the weekly reads. And hopefully I'll be able to catch up and then just be on a regular schedule or at least an obtainable schedule so I'm within grasping reach of hitting 2018. So, we'll talk to you in a bit. Welcome back to Mike M's Weekly Reads. And even though the first part of this I recorded prior to Heroes Con, so the next episode I'll be talking about Heroes Con, but I'm going to get into the weekly reads here. But today, man, I read some good comics. I got caught up in Batman, and I was actually enjoying it, especially the last five issues. I really enjoyed the first three. Didn't care for the Poison Ivy arc, but I'll talk about that some future date. And I wanted to get caught up on the wedding before it actually happened, because chances are people are either going to be happy with it or going to be really disappointed, and I get spoiled regardless. And I'd rather experience it for myself, as far as that goes. And I've been reading the tie-ins, which is by Tim Seeley, which is like how the different heroes in Batman's world are reacting to the wedding. And I've been really impressed with that. I thought it was just going to be like a fifth week, who kind of cares, kind of, they're good stories. But these ones are really good. I got a lot out of them, excuse me. So I'm going to, since I'm behind, I'm going to like go through a couple of these weeks of the weekly reads just to do some catching up. And the first week is from August 28th of 2017 through September 3rd of 2017. You ask, why am I so behind? Well, I became behind because I didn't release these episodes as I originally planned, which was one per week. So I'm about a year, a little over a year behind. I'm working to catch up. Sometimes I'm doing two of these. I had 26 books read that week. 20 Marvel, 5 DC, and one alternative comics. We had a 2 out of 5, which means I didn't like it. It was Edge of Venom verse number 5. This is what actually prevented me from buying the other 5-issue event that happened with Venom, because I didn't quite enjoy this one. I mean, it had its moments, and the best one I thought was the Spider-Gwen issue, which was really weird. My comment on this was I could have skipped on this mini event. It was okay, but the only one I enjoyed was issue 2, Gwenpool and Daredevil. So that's why I didn't like it. Didn't care about this event. I don't think it added to excitement for me personally. And I'm not the biggest Venom fan, to be fair. So if you're really into Venom, and some of these might have worked for you, I was really surprised I like Gwenpool, because I've never liked Deadpool or Gwenpool. I actually read a Deadpool comic this week, and I sort of enjoyed it. Had Mark Bagley artwork, and I was quite impressed, actually. I need to grab some water, but got to get back on track on what I was talking about. Okay, so the next one, or the 3 out of 5s, I had Secret Empire, The Underground. The Underground going and looking for a piece of a cube in the Savage Land, and they team up with Sauron. Hercules gets injured, and Mockingbird leads the team. It was okay. I enjoyed it. 3 out of 5 from Marvel Comics. And then I just started getting into The Punisher. I bought the trade paperback. It actually caused me to buy the singles as well, even though I was reading it in trade. It was The Punisher Suicide Run. I'm working on completing The Punisher at Punisher Warzone. I think I've completed. And the Punisher War Journal. Even though in this past MyComicShop.com order, I did not go there. It's one that I'm looking to complete. But it was Punisher 85 was the prelude. It was not a smooth entry into the arc because everything was established in prior issues. So this was the suicide run. I didn't think it was a good start. Now that I look at the way it ended and how it began, it was probably a better issue than I gave it credit for. But I gave it a 3 out of 5. We then went to the Punisher War Journal, excuse me, number 61. This is the prelude and part of Suicide One. Blackwell is hunting down the Punisher with Virgil, which is the company he's with, and he becomes obsessed. You'll see this guy goes off the crazy end of the crazy stick. And it's a strange intro into this character called Mondo Payne. We then get into Justice League number 18 and 19. Molly becomes an entity that is out to destroy all superpowered individuals of Earth, but the Justice League stops her. And I said the art was really nice, so I must have really liked the art in this story. We have a 3 out of 5. In the future, I'm going to start writing the artist when I say things like that. Another 3 out of 5 was a one shot that I somehow missed pre-order because I had to order it through my comic shop at a later date. It's Wonder Woman Steve Trevor Special number 1. It's the intro to the film characters Charlie, Chief, and the other guy. I can't remember the other one, but I gave it a 3 out of 5. You think I'd give that a higher score, but I guess it wasn't all that great. But I'm glad I got it, and I should not miss DC Comics like that, because I'm all in. But at least it was rectified. We have 4 out of 5s, which mean I really enjoyed it. We have Secret Empire United number 1. It shows how the X-Men are banished to the one area and how Emma Frost is using Zorn and the X-Men to keep them alive and in power. So it's kind of like the X-Men version of when Cap is a Nazi, the stuff that's going on with Emma Frost and how she's leading her group. We then have Secret Empire number 5 through 9, the Resistance versus Hydra. They kill Black Widow in the story and fight over the remainder of the cube. We have Justice League number 20, The Endless begins and centers around the Flash on a date with Jessica and sees her die repeatedly, kind of like in Groundhog Day. This was a very interesting story. I like that Justice League one-shot issue. Even though it was part of a bigger story, it did read like a one-shot. We got Monsters Unleashed, Volume 2, number 1 through 5. I gave this a pretty high score. I read it all consecutively. It could be why I gave it such a high score. The beginning of the miniseries where monsters are showing up all over the world and Alicia Bloodstone is investigating. A young boy may be responsible, but is foretold to save the Earth. Kid Kaiju defeats the monster. We then get Slasher number 3, and this is the serial killer one by Charles Forsman from Alternative Comics. I really thought this series was excellent. You could see Harley's barking at me. She goes outside for like 10 minutes and decides to come in, even though it's a beautiful day outside. The girl starts killing more men, almost everyone she encounters. So it's a bloodthirsty issue for her. We have a 4 out of 5. The last 4 out of 5 is Wonder Woman, Tasmanian Devil. In the past, Diana used the devil and now seeks his help to defeat the Circe. And what I mean by used is she actually used the devil, and he feels like he was abused by Wonder Woman. Like when you use somebody to get justify your goal, but you didn't treat somebody well to do it. So letting Harley in. It rained a lot. We had some hail, but it's beautiful now. But it wet the grass, and I can't mow, so that's why I'm podcasting. So that was Wonder Woman Wonder Woman Tasmanian Devil number 1. The 5 out of 5s for that week was Obi-Wan and Anakin number 1 through 5 from Marvel Comics. This was a mini series that was a Star Wars related one, and it's a distress signal from a destroyed world at constant war. Both sides trick them and use Anakin's ability to repair engines against them. The person wanted the Jedi there to open, so the open and close would destroy each other, and she could rebuild with the children. There were two factions called the Open and Close, and they were basically both using the Jedi, but there was a older woman there that was using both the Open and Close to go after each other in order to wipe each other out so she could take the younger kids and form her own and make that planet like a union. It was really well told, so good. 5 out of 5, Obi-Wan and Anakin, number 1 through 5. So let's jump into the next week, which was September 4th, 2017, so through September 10th, 2017. And Harley's gonna start playing with her squeaky toy. So if you hear a squeaky noise, that's because she started to play. We had a total of 26 books that week, exactly as the week before. And we had 14 Marvel. Bring me the ball and I'll throw it for you. If you bring me the ball, I'll throw it. Don't look at me like that. I didn't do nothing. Total 26. Comics that week, just like the previous week, there were 14 Harley, 14 Marvel, 11 DC, and one Dark Horse. We had starting of the 3 out of 5s. We had Secret Empire number 10. The Resistance is taking down Hydra. Kubik rescues the real Steve to battle himself. Everything restored back to normal at the end of this event. For me, as you could see, I like the beginning of this event much more than the end. I think it kind of was a letdown. And now we had that evil Steve get arrested by SHIELD, and it's kind of weird. We have at a 3 out of 5, aliens dead orbit. The burn victims from the cyber cubes have aliens in their body and are now loose on the ship. That was 3 out of 5 for me. Even though the art was spectacular. I'm more of a story dude, but it was a good story. I enjoyed it. That's why it's a 3 out of 5. It means I liked it. We didn't get out of the 4 out of 5s, which means I really liked it. We have Justice League number 23. DC is still working to try to establish Jessica as a Green Lantern. This time it is DeFalco's turn, and Tom DeFalco did this issue. It was interesting, but at the same time he was just regurgitating the Jessica fears and stuff over again. We have Justice League number 22. This is an infestation at the Watchtower. As it leads to a quarantine, there's a microscopic insects come down from an asteroid on Baz and Jessica and infect the Justice League. We have Justice League number 25, a very interesting discussion between Molly and Batman about Crisis, Flashpoint, and Rebirth. Also, the Great Darkness is coming. And if you know what the Great Darkness, you refer to Legion of Superheroes. We got Justice League number 21. This one I dug the two-part story about the husband whose wife has an affair with his boss and they're trying to work things out. Groundhog Day as Flash has to work with Batman to take down the government contractor who loses a family and blames Flash. Jessica dies but is brought back by Flash. So this is the continuation of the previous issue I talked about last week. We then have Secret Empire, Brave New World, number 1 through 5. This is not really needed in the terms of the event, but does give some backstory on the new Giant Man, how the event is affecting the invaders, especially Namor, and some Emma Frost backstory. Gives some story on Blade and Misty Knight. So if you're any of those fans, you might want to check out Secret Empire, Brave New World 1 through 5 if you want some Emma Frost, Blade and Misty Knight, Namor and Giant Man, or Invader's Love. We got Supergirl being Super number 4. This was the deluxe formatted 4-issue miniseries. Other Kryptonian tries to convert her to his cause. She tries to take down her captor and tries to find other Kryptonians, but fails to find him. Oh, the other Kryptonian being the bad guy is what I mean. Justice League number 24 ties in with Aquaman after Mara thinks he might be dead and starts affecting hurricanes, joins the Justice League temporarily. So that's where Mara comes into the Justice League when Aquaman's missing in the series. That's about where I left off in Aquaman. I'm gonna have to start to return back to that. We then get back into Suicide Run again with Punisher War General number 62. The new Punisher seeking vengeance, hunted by Virgil, which is what we talked about, as they kill more criminals. So that's like it's like a group that goes after vigilantes, going after the Punisher. We have Punisher 86. Micro and Mickey escape, but they're being hunted by the law. Rich guy wants to start up a new Punisher now that he is thought dead. Blackwell and group don't believe he's dead. Punisher under the debris where Blackwell's helicopter fires upon it. A female Punisher shows up and another team up as they are being hunted. This is a good series. Punisher, I'd recommend getting the trade or the issues that I'm talking about. It's a really enjoyable event. We have Punisher, and you could hear Harley wanting to go out again. I'm going to just knock this one out. We got Punisher War Zone number 23. Punisher confronts all the mob bosses in an unfinished high-rise building. They're setting each other up. He kills the majority and then blows up the entire high-rise, and Micro and Mickey escape. So the next one I think I have is another Star Wars book, which is Han Solo. So as soon as I let Harley out, I'll get back to that. She's playing with her, speaking of Star Wars, she's playing with her Darth Vader ball before I let her out. But she started knocking because she wants to go lay in the sun. She lays in the sun for about 10 minutes and then she comes in wanting the cool air conditioner. We have Han Solo number 1 through 5. Han Solo and he has to enter a race to uncover. Oh, he enters the race undercover for the rebellion to retrieve rebel spies that may be in danger. The Empire intervenes. Han succeeds and brings them to Leia. In the end, all of the racers work together to succeed against the Empire. So it was a good mini-series. And if you like the Han Solo movie, you might want to check out this mini, Han Solo 1 through 5. I enjoyed it. But I also enjoyed the movie. So if you didn't enjoy the movie, maybe don't check it out. But good stuff. We then get into the 5 out of 5s, and absolutely fell in love with this series from DC Comics of a new character, and it's Mother Panic. It didn't start off as highly ranked as what I thought it would get to, but it turned out to be a 5 out of 5 book. So now we're in the 5 out of 5s. We got Mother Panic takes down some more villains, but at the cost of her cybernetics and her back start to fail, which lead to a surgery. This is really cool stuff. It gives some of her backstory about the orphanage that put the cybernetics in her back. And she was being raised by nuns who tortures her at the Gather House. That's where the place that she was raised. odd man backstory in Gotham as they try to uncover who murdered the radio host. And odd man is kind of a cool thing. Let me tell you a little bit of a story. When I used to do DC Noise with Eric Martin, so let me give you a little DC Noise history. DC Noise was started originally on the network, Derek Coward Network, Comic Book Noise family, by Peter Rios. And you should know that name if you're a podcaster, because he was one of the fathers of podcasting with the geek, the com what are they called? I'm losing my mind. It's going in the white entry. Comic Geek Speak. God bless. They even had a they were so big, Comic Geek Speak, that they had a forum which a lot of us met at, and they also had their own convention called Super Show. And this is where I like met a lot of my friends today. Like, this is where I met Daryl Taylor and Keith. Had a blast. We talked about the fart can of farts with DCBS, because I made a wager that nobody else would have ordered a can of farts besides Keith, and I turned out to be right. But Christine actually looked that up for us. So DC Noise actually was fathered by Peter Rios. He did three episodes, if I remember correctly, and then it went on hiatus, and he never came back. And I went to my first convention where I met all my friends, which was a Heroes Con. I think it was 2008, I think. Might have been before that. But I met Eric Martin, and Eric Martin says, "You know, the network really needs a DC podcast. They got Marvel Noise. We really need to bring DC Noise back." And he says, "I talked to Peter, and he says, I think we could take over. Do you want to do it?" And I said, "Yeah, that's fantastic." So me and Eric ran with it for a long, long time. And when we used to introduce the show, we didn't usually say our names. We'd look at the encyclopedia and pick some weird characters, and one of the characters was I Am Odd Man, because he's very obscure and he's appearing in the Mother Panic. But unfortunately, Eric died of a heart attack very young, very, very young, and it was devastating to me, because I at the time I was kind of broken, and I didn't know what to do. I almost thought about quitting everything. And I can't remember if this is around the time too that I think it was slightly after when Heath Holland left Geek Brunch, and I started working with Micah and Bill on Geek Brunch. And I was tempted to just give it all up, give podcasting a break, and just not come back. And then I thought about it, and I was like, Eric would want me to continue. So I was talking to Keith Knutson at the time, and this is before DC Noise went crazy. But he decided to come on with me, and we continued like me and Eric Martin did, with a more serious tone. And then Daryl joined later, and the three of us hit it off, and things went off the rails, and it kind of stayed that way until now. But even though I did release a new DC Noise. But that's a little story about Odd Man. That was an Odd Man backup story that I enjoyed, and I held it close to my heart, because I know that character because I read it in the encyclopedia for DC Noise. A long segue, but you get those segues from me, and I apologize for it, but that's just what you're gonna get. So back of that. Murdered the ratio. She recovers from surgery, so this is a Mother Panic, and goes to an event as a celebrity to find one of her gather house friends who may have betrayed her, and her mom is crazy as ever. Detective on talk show, putting down vigilantes as another is killed. So that's on the Odd Man backup story. So love Mother Panic. I'm behind in it. I think I finished this volume, but I need to start the Young Animal second volume, which takes place in the future. I hope you enjoyed this. Please get in touch with me. Let me know what you think of these episodes. Coming up next is the Heroes Con wrap up, which I have a lot to talk about. I might not talk about the weekly reads. I might just talk about Heroes Con, but I have about probably half an hour before Barb gets back. She went to Costco and then to take care of some other stuff at Sprouts. We'll see how that goes. You can reach me on the Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. You can email me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can leave an iTunes review at Geek Brunch Podcast on the iTunes if you type those in. You could go to geekbrunchpodcast.com and leave a comment there. Or you could go to Facebook and type in Geek Brunch Podcast with spaces in it. And click the like button and follow all of the episodes for Mike M's weekly reads, Mike M's Spotlights and Mike M's Collector's Corner, Geek Brunch and Geek Brunch Retrocast. We just released a retrocast fairly recently. You should go check that out. And we will talk to you later. And I want to thank you for listening. Bye-bye.